I gotta behave myself now. He's recording me. Now, figure out where I am.
if it's God's, let's see, this one has God's care and activities and
in the future.
And God's care in the future.
Future is where we are, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I got a mark here where it is.
Wade part two, I got it's turning yellow and they more space in the
I'm continuing where I should have been 2 weeks ago. I think part-timers is catching up to me. It's not like all-timers, it's just part-timers. That's my story. I'm sticking with it. Okay, so God gives gifts to all of humanity, and just looking at the book of Colossians, these are some of the things I've come up with. And right now we're talking about all things. Verse 16 and 17. Oh, shucks, I jumped it ahead. Oh, well. Okay. For by him were all things created, all things, notice, created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. The Lord Jesus Christ existed before anything else did, because he is part of the Godhead. So he existed eternally, and then, so far as we know, he came to this earth and was in a body provided by Mary, and he lived 33 years. He went to the cross. He endured a lot of pain and sorrow and suffering. He took our sins upon his own body on the tree, and he died, and he was buried. And then 3 days later, God showed that his sacrifice was accepted, because he rose again from the dead. And because he rose again from the dead, we know that we too shall rise from the dead. And at some future point in time, we will all be recipients of our heavenly trust fund that he has established for each and every one of us. And he has given us all things that we need. So I've gone over, all things, not all things, all physical things, not all things. If you look in the scriptures, there's a whole bunch of places where it says all things, but in some cases, a lot of cases, it's he did all things that were commanded of him. Though I'm not talking about those all things, I'm talking about things. So he created them. And he provides them for us. Now, the lost people out there, they also enjoy the fact that we have all things from him. I did work for various companies, and they were provided things that so that they could provide me with a job. That is God supplying me through them. So when God blesses his people, people around them are blessed. Our nation, years ago, when we first got started, we didn't have much, but we were very productive with what we had. Again, everybody had the work ethic, and, well, not everybody, almost a large percentage had the work ethic, and they were productive, and they were producing a lot. And we had a few squabbles with the British, but we kept on going. God, through history, has been supplying our needs, and we've been very prosperous. Well, now that we've got prosperity, we don't need God anymore because we've got all these things. And so now here we are, we're ignoring God and just thinking about, well, my God is medical science. My God is science in general. My God is evolution. So there is no big guy in the sky that's going to, I'm going to have to stand before one day. No, that's not going to happen. No. We came from monkeys and we'll just go and die in the dust and that'll be it. Of course, you watch movies and you see all kinds of other strange and weird ideas. Anyway, so they don't know the truth. The truth is, one day, we're all going to die. We are all going to give an account before the great God. We who are believers, we will receive rewards for what we've done for him. If we don't, those that don't know him, they will stand before the great white throne judgment, and then they will be cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And nobody wants to be there. But then again, most people don't believe that exists. That's a major tenet of the Jehovah's Witnesses. There is no hell. That'll be it. All gone. No, don't have to worry about hell. We won't suffer eternity. No. We'll just, one quick poof and we're gone. That's it. But not according to the scriptures. They will receive eternal damnation. And that doesn't mean just a quick poof. That means like forever. And it would be very, very unpleasant. Anyway, so God has set up all these things for us. And because we are here and there are lost people here, they also enjoy the benefits. When we start losing our focus on God, and those around us start losing their focus on God and just start thinking about themselves and thinking about the great gods of this world, then God's blessing goes away. But God has given us all things. And in the Old Testament, here's a couple examples. There's some, we went over this, the care in the Gospels, and then the Acts, and then God's care in activities and foods. God cares for us in all sorts of areas. Now, this is where we are, God's care in the future. And where we left off was Hebrews chapter 2, verses 6 through 10. But one in a certain place testified, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him?" This is coming from the Psalms. "Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." By the way, that death was for every saved man. The book of Hebrews was written to saved individuals, and this is the people he's talking to. So everyone that is saved, he died for every one of these saved individuals. Anyone who's the elect, he died for them. He did not die for every single human being, because then no one could go to hell, because he paid the price for all men. The grace of God should taste death for every man. So this does not mean he tasted death for the lost. Okay. "For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom all are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." Now this for whom are all things and by whom are all things, sure sounds like Colossians 1:16. All things were created by him and for him. This says for him and by him. And he was before all things, and by him all things consist. Sounds very similar. But again, these are God's men inspired by the Holy Spirit to write these things down. Some people think that Hebrews was written by Paul. Some people think it was written by Apollos. But whatever the case, they agree for whom are all things and by whom are all things. Nothing exists except that the Lord Jesus Christ made them. And nothing is here except the Lord Jesus Christ made them. They were made by him. All matter in this universe was made by him. When he said, let there be light, that was the Lord Jesus speaking. When he said, let there be plants, that was the Lord Jesus speaking. When he said, let there be animals, that was the Lord Jesus speaking. When he said, let there be man, that was the Lord Jesus speaking. All things were made by him, and the reason they were made by him was that they were made for him. We are here for God's glory. We are here to serve him. We are here to make God smile, not ourselves, but God. We're supposed to be putting him first in our lives. But we, all the time, the sin nature, it's all about me. It's all about me. What I want. And this doesn't meet the scriptural test. But the Lord Jesus, he is God, and yet he was made a little lower than the angels by Mary and what God worked in her. She brought forth a baby without having a man. This was a little microscopic miracle that God made happen, and this brought salvation to all of us. Just a microscopic miracle, and we have the Lord Jesus Christ being born and becoming a man and dying on the cross and being buried and raising again from the dead. Because of that microscopic miracle, we have salvation. Which also, because of that microscopic miracle, I believe conception is the start of life. And that baby started at conception. He was God at conception, inhabiting a mere cell in the human body. And it started multiplying, blah, 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 and became a baby and so forth. This is when, I mean, he could... At any point in his life, he could not be something other than who he was. So he was God and man at the point of conception. God the Holy Spirit made that happen. A microscopic miracle, but that's when it happened. And anyway, so because he did that, because he was made a little lower than the angels, because he became a man, he could die for us. He couldn't die for angels because, well, they have no redemption. Because he was a man, he lived as a man, a sinless, perfect man. And because he did that, we have salvation. And by the way, I don't believe there are other beings in other worlds evolved and so forth. Because for them to exist, the Lord Jesus Christ would have to come to the earth, to their planet, and become one of them and die on the cross on their planet, just like he did here. And he's not going to do that. God doesn't need validation by aliens. He made man, and we're not the center of the universe. We're nobody. But then again, God chooses nobodies. Look at the Jews. He said, you're a nothing tribe. There's just There's a handful of you. There's lots and lots of other peoples I could talk to, but I'm dealing with you. And God's dealing with humans in this whole universe. So I don't believe in aliens because Jesus Christ did not become an alien and die in there. No, it's once per universe, okay? Anyway, sorry. Because he became a man, we have salvation. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, in verse 8. The Lord Jesus Christ has not yet had everything put under his feet. When he comes back to claim the earth at the end of the tribulation period, and he sets up his 1,000-year kingdom on this earth, that will be when all things are put under his feet. Now, everybody will be in subjection to him. Outwardly, anyway. Inwardly, a bunch of them will not conform to him. They will rebel inwardly, and he will rule with a rod of iron. There won't be any slack. If you do wrong, that's it. You're done. So he will rule with a rod of iron. We will rule and reign with him for those 1,000 years. God has set all this up, and he will have all things under his feet. And at the end of the 1,000 years, those who did not conform inwardly, they will rise up in rebellion following Satan, and they will encompass Jerusalem and try and, you know, we don't want you anymore. And they will prove who they are. And at that point, heaven and earth goes away, and they're left just standing there with nowhere to hide. So it won't be a pleasant time for them. But for the believers, no problem whatsoever. And they will stand before the great white throne judgment, and that will be the end of it. Anyway, okay, so he is all this, he has set up all things. All things are going according to his plan and purpose. Our heavenly trust fund, that's all according to his plan and purpose. He has made all things, including our heavenly trust fund. It's all in him. Okay, then Hebrews 3:4. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. This section of Hebrews, everybody thinks Moses is so great. Moses is the ultimate human being. He is what we look to. He is so awesome. But Moses, he built the nation of Israel, true, through leading them and giving them the Ten Commandments, or all the law of Moses. He gave them all that, but then the one who made all things is God. Jesus Christ brought all things into existence. So which is more important? The man Moses, it was actually in this section, it says he was over the house of Israel, but he didn't build the house of Israel. That was actually done by God. But he was over the house of Israel. God created everything else. He built everything. So, which is greater? The one that was over the house or the one who made everything? Well, I believe it was the one who built everything, right? This in Hebrews, these people, they're saying, well, you know, I'm having such trouble being, you know, a non-Jew, being a Christian. So I'm going to go back to the synagogue. Where I, you know, got friends and family and I feel comfortable and I'll be accepted by all the Jews. This is what they're trying to do. And the author saying, no, what you've got your hands on in Jesus Christ is far superior than Moses and the law and the synagogues. That's old covenant stuff. That is nothing compared to what we have in Christ. and they're not understanding it. But he built all things. He is the source of all things. So get over the idea of Moses. Wow. Moses is nothing compared to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ spoke to Moses. Moses knew Jesus Christ in his pre-bodily, pre-incarnation. Are you going to look at Moses or the one Moses talked to? No, Moses is nobody. And throughout Hebrews, he's trying to point him out. Jesus Christ has it all. He is all. Moses is just somebody that God used. And David. Oh, King David, the great King David. David is nothing compared to Jesus Christ. So, I mean, no matter who you look at, Jesus Christ is so much better. And the contrast is huge. Here's someone over a house. Here's one that built everything, including the house. How can you look at this guy and when you can look at this one? So, all things. He's made all things. This is all things that we need. And God has taken care of these things for us. Okay, Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. Here's one that a lot of people have heard. For the word of God is quick, living, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. How many people have thought in their minds, I wonder if I could come up with some way to get rid of God? I mean, there's a lot of people think that. Well, if I do this, I've seen, what was it, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. Anybody saw that one? Yeah, a few of you. Okay. But I mean, here, these guys, if we do this, we can get rid of the Hebrew God and the Christian God, and we will be gods ourselves, or something, whatever. This will be our God. I mean, the stupidity, like they're plotting against God himself. Isn't that kind of stupid? I mean, God knows all things. He knows the plans. He knew them from the beginning of this. He knew they were going to plot this out. I mean, that's stupid. How do you plot against God? It ain't going to happen. But all these people get around and say, oh yeah, we're going to do it. All things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. You ain't got nothing to hide against. You know, you want to hide from God if there's nothing to hide behind. He sees all that. According to the scriptures, he even the thoughts and intents of the heart. So how can I get something past God when he knows my thoughts and intents? So I want to get rid of God. So he knows that's my intent, and he listens to my thoughts. How am I going to plot against God? Duh. So one day when we stand before God, he will judge everything, including the thoughts and intents of the heart. They're all opened to him. He sees everything we're thinking and doing. It's kind of embarrassing, you know, you think, boy, you know, you think about some of these little sins here and there. And boy, you know something? I was thinking, nobody's looking. I can take this. But, I mean, God's sitting there, and his old angel are sitting there. Don't do that, dummy. Don't do it. You're going to get caught. So you sneak it and try and walk out the door, and the alarm goes off. You didn't get away with it. You got caught. And now you got to pay the consequences. Ugh. No. All things, everything we do, all our thoughts and intents, they're all before God. And by the way, anything good you say to God, about God, to others, and just in general, any praises you give and give God credit for whatever, That's all recorded in heaven. And so you'll get rewards for all those good things you said about God. So that's something we can do. And we can get credit for it. So, it's good. It's okay to praise God, give him credit for what he does. So long as we get out of our sleepiness and start realizing, wow, God is so awesome, and start giving him credit for all that he does for us. Anyway, so, yeah. So, all things are naked and open unto the eyes with whom we have to do. God's word is true. God's word is always true. And it says, all things are open, are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Been a lot of sermons preached on that one, by the way. But all things. So we're not going to get away with anything. And everybody out there, the lost people, they're not going to get by with nothing. He knows all things, all the thoughts and intents of the heart. Okay, so God takes care of us because he's watching everything that goes on. If we are attacked by somebody or insulted by somebody, Jesus Christ takes that personal. By the way, that's made me be nicer when I'm driving. Because if that's a Christian I'm fussing out at, then, you know, that'd be going to Jesus, and Jesus takes it personal if I call the person an uneducated moron for not knowing how to drive. So I've calmed that down a little bit. So anyway, and 1 Peter 4, verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Peter's saying, hey, the end of everything is coming up. And what are we doing for Jesus Christ? So be therefore sober. Be in control of yourself and be in control of your mind and be thinking and so forth. And watch unto prayer. We should be aware of what we're doing. What are we doing for Jesus Christ? Are we giving him credit on all these things? So many things, and the time is short and getting shorter. I don't see there anything on the horizon, not yet, that needs to be done before Jesus Christ returns and snatches away the church. So I'm looking forward to it. Every year comes around the time of the Feast of Trumpets, and I say, is it this time? Is it this time? But it wasn't this September or October, so maybe it's next year. I'm hoping. Anyway, but the end of all things is at hand. All these things God's made, it's all going to collapse and be nothing. By him all things consist. The little nucleus in an atom, and the positive is sitting in the middle, and all this other space is taken up by a little electron or two that are microscopic compared to each thing in the nucleus, and the bombs there are just tremendous. They fired protons at a thin piece of gold foil, and they said it was equivalent to firing an 18-inch battleship shell at a piece of tissue paper and seeing that 18-inch diameter shell come flying back at them. That's what it was like. And this just, wow, the tremendous bond between these things and the power that could bounce back an 18-inch artillery shell. That's amazing. And yet by him all things consist. That's his power doing that. But one day, it's all going to collapse and melt with fervent heat. And all things will cease to exist. And all those that are alive at that time, their bodies will cease to exist because all matter will collapse. And there they are, standing before the great white throne judgment. That will be very embarrassing and very unpleasant. But by him all things consist, and the end of all things is at hand. It's coming up. We need to be sober and in control of our thoughts and focusing on what's real. Jesus Christ is real. 2 Peter 3, verses 3 through 6. Knowing this first, that there shall come a time in the last days, scoffers. Ever heard any scoffers?
Oh, there ain't no such thing. That Bible's just a bunch of fairy tales.
Walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? We hear that a lot nowadays. I hear the apocalypse is happening. And here's an apocalyptic event and so forth. All these, they keep having movies about these things. I think the Avengers had a big movie and they said this, they used that word in there. You know what apocalyptic means? Revelation. So the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's the apocalypse, the revelation of Jesus Christ. They are thinking, well, that's a big bad thing. Well, for the believers, it's a great, wonderful thing. For the lost, it's a terrible thing because he is going to end all things. So there shall, let's see, saying, where's the promise of his coming? Ah, we've been hearing that for years. First they said, let's see, the Antichrist, that's, let's see. Well, they used to say, I forgot, oh, Napoleon was the Antichrist. Eventually, Adolf Hitler is the Antichrist. Stalin is the Antichrist. Khrushchev is the Antichrist. Blah, 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 blah. No, it's not yet, but it's coming. And when his time comes, it's going to be too late for many. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Everything, it's going on just fine. It's just like evolution says, it's all going to keep going. For this they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that was, being overflowed with water, perished. So, let's see. Okay, by the word of God the heavens were of old. Do you realize there's a star? It's so many thousand light years away. So, tens of thousands of light years. There are galaxies that are millions of thousands, whatever, of light years away. And it would take so many million years for that light to show up to us. So we got a telescope up there. Look, that's, let's see, by all their calculations, that's 10 million light years away. So we've been here for 10 million years. The scriptures say God made them appear that way. I mean, how could Adam and Eve, you know, here they're one day old and they look up into the heavens and they don't see any stars? Why? Because it hasn't had time to get here yet. You know, we've got a God that's kind of smart. I don't know if y'all know that. But he can set it up. Yeah, there's this light, there's this galaxy 10 million light years away. And so I'm going to show you it. So the light has already hit Earth. Amazing. What a smart God. So we think we're so smart. That light's been coming for 10 million years. And yet, according to the scriptures, we're not even 10,000 years old yet. So how did that light travel 10 million years already? How do they, this rock is 10 million years old. Wow. It's really old because of carbon dating and blah, 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 and all the other things they give it. So this rock is 10 million years old. Don't you know God can make that rock appear 10 million years old when he first made it? How old was Adam when he was born? Oh, he wasn't born. He appeared as a young man. Just like, you know, when we're at our peak, it's like 25 years old. That's when all the brain and everything is now mature. And so that's what he would look like. But he was just born, just created. We sure are stupid, but that's what it says. Of old, God has set it up and it's there. And they think that, well, all things continue from the creation. It just keeps going and going. We came from monkeys and here we just keep going. And one day we'll have big giant heads and six fingers and we'll evolve. No. I believe in devolution, not evolution. We'll dumb down sure as shooting and be morons if we keep going for 10 million years. There won't be no hope for us. But God's got a plan, and that's much better. But anyway, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that was being overflowed with water perished. That last line is talking about the worldwide flood. But you know, if there was a worldwide flood, it would mess up all their calculations about being billions of years old. Because, you know, the carbon dating, because you can't have a flood because that would mess up everything. I hate to tell you this, but there really was one. And it covered Mount Everest, like 30 feet over Mount Everest, I think it was. So, no, it messed up all their calculations. But they think they're so smart. Yep, uh-huh. Yeah, that galaxy's 10 million light years away, so we've been around for 10 million years. They don't know God's smart enough to figure that out. Aren't you glad you have a God that's smart enough to figure that stuff out? Way back at the start, he wanted to show Adam and Eve how glorious his world was that he created. So he set this up. So they had to see that galaxy 10 million light years away. And it appears just as a star. Oh well, anyway. Okay, Revelation 4, 10 and 11. And the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So he created all things. They're praising him for creating all things. Everything that was created, he created them. They were created for his pleasure. We think it's there for me. So I can get rich and boy, I can have whatever I want. It's for me. No, they were made for his pleasure. And because they were made for his pleasure, they exist and they will continue to exist until he says no more. Revelation 21, 4 through 7. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are all passed away. And he that sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. All these things, all things are for us. When he makes all things new, that means heaven and earth collapse. All the whole universe collapses. And he makes a new heaven and a new earth, a new universe. And all things will be for us. And there won't be any sin in this new universe. There won't be any corruption. There won't be any fading away or dying or anything like that. And we will enjoy all things. We won't be selfish. Why? We will have glorified bodies. And we will know who the truth is. We will know Jesus Christ. And we will enjoy him and his being the pleasure of his presence throughout eternity. This is what we look forward to. And then the last verse before we quit, real quick. Ephesians 1, 10 through 12. In that dispensation of the fullness of times, he might bring together in one all things in Christ, both that are in heaven and that are on the earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. In the dispensation of the fullness of times, he gathered together in one all things in Christ, both in heaven and in earth. We one day will be reunited with all the dead saints. They will have glorified bodies. We will have glorified bodies. All the believers will have glorified bodies. We will be together in one place. All of us. And our loved ones and so forth, they will be in glorified bodies. They will be there with us. Let's see, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. He's going to bring it to pass. We will come together. We will all be there because of his purpose. He has a plan and purpose. He knew our DNA before I ever existed. He knew my DNA, according to the Psalms. And he knew. So if I cremate myself, nobody can resurrect me and get after me for anything I did wrong. Ha 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 ha. God knows our DNA. He knows, you know, all about us. We can't escape his judgment. We will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ or the great white throne judgment. The Lord Jesus Christ at the great white throne judgment. There are no options. We will be standing before Christ at his rewarding stand or the great white throne judgment. It's all going to be there. And we, this is all according to his plan and purpose. We try and cremate ourselves. He can put us back together. Not a problem for him. If he knows the number of hairs on our heads at any point in our life, don't you reckon he knows our DNA just as well? Duh. He knows all these things. So he can't. Yes, somebody was out in sea, a sailor, and they threw him overboard because he died, and the critters all ate him up, and all he is now whale poop on the bottom of the ocean. God can resurrect him. Sorry, but he's going to be resurrected either to the good resurrection or the bad resurrection. He's got it. He knows what he's doing. So we know that we shall all be together with all of the saints who have gone before. We shall all be together with him, glorifying him throughout eternity. And with that, let's go ahead and call it quits right there. And I got one more point to go, but there's too many points there, so too many scriptures. So let's call it quits and let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without him, we can do nothing. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who enables us to be able to do all these things. And thank you for your Holy Spirit that enables and empowers us to do these things. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the promises in your word. Thank you that you take care of us through all things. In all things, you created all things, and you provide us all things that we need, that you know that we need. Heavenly Father, help us to enjoy and give you credit for all things. And Lord, I pray that as we go from here and come, please bring us back to the next appointed time. And I pray that in all things, we will give you the credit. And we ask all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Mm-hmm. I'll let you handle that. Okay, so. Look at this.